state of Massachusetts laid a scalding, steaming hot potato before the Supreme Court, but today the court refused to touch it. Massachusetts passed a law saying the Vietnam War had never been declared by Congress, was unconstitutional, and therefore citizens of the state could not legally be forced to go there and fight, and it asked the court to rule on it. The court today said no, but it almost said yes. It takes only 4 of the 9 members to bring a case before the court. 3 said yes, they wanted to hear it, but the other 6 said no. The government argued against the Massachusetts case, saying it would hamstring the president, insult the Congress, and embarrass the country. Justices Harlan, Stewart, and Douglas wanted to hear it. Douglas said the court had differed with the president and Congress on less important cases than this, but again, they lost by 1 vote. If the court should declare the war unconstitutional, the confusion and the complexities would be endless. In another case, the court heard arguments about how and when, if ever, a jury should decide on the death penalty. The lives of 550 people may depend on the decision when it comes. John?
The 2 American generals held by the Russians since October 21st will now be released. The State Department says it got the news from the Russian ambassador in Washington. Major General Edward Scherer and Brigadier General Claude McQuarrie, Jr. were in a light military plane which strayed across the Turkish-Soviet border in bad weather and landed. According to the story circulating now, the American pilot of the plane may still be in Russia but is expected to be released soon. A Turkish colonel who was also on board the plane was released tonight.
This is NBC Nightly News, Monday, November 9th, 1970. Brought to you by Vantage, the full-flavor breakthrough cigarette with the incredible new filter that doesn't cop out on flavor.
Until now, many smokers have found that high-flavor cigarettes have been high-tar cigarettes. Until now, as cigarette tar went down, cigarette taste went down. Until now, the flavor stopped here. But now there's Vantage, the full-flavor breakthrough cigarette with the incredible new filter that doesn't cop out on flavor. Vantage, it's on the way, and it's worth waiting for.
President Nixon, in a private interview with several reporters, said he was optimistic about Republican prospects in 1972, but he refused to discuss the speculation that Vice President Agnew will not be on the ticket with him. It would be premature to discuss that, he said. And he said he was particularly happy that James L. Buckley, the conservative candidate, won in New York. The Army still has not settled its case against Captain Ernest Medina, accused in the My Lai massacre, but a new element has appeared in the case today.
Because of what it calls additional information, the Army is reopening its investigation into Captain Ernest Medina's role in the alleged My Lai massacre. Captain Medina was to have been court-martialed, but today's action could mean that some or all of the charges against him may be dropped. He has been accused of personally killing 4 persons at My Lai, and the Army is holding him responsible for the murder of more than 100 Vietnamese villagers said to have been committed by men under his command. Now the Army isn't sure. What the new evidence is hasn't been announced. It is known, however, that Captain Medina asked to be given a lie detector test. The apparent results led the Army to review its case against him. The results of a lie detector test are not admissible to convict anyone, but they can be used to help establish someone's innocence. Captain Medina has always maintained that he is not guilty. He acknowledges firing at a woman who may have been armed, but he denies that there was a massacre of any kind. Today's decision to review the Medina case seems to indicate that the Army still hasn't reconstructed what happened at My Lai. But lie detector tests have been given other defendants and witnesses, and murder charges are being pressed in other cases. Robert Goralski, NBC News at Fort McPherson, Georgia.
The court-martial of Lieutenant William Kelly, accused of killing more than 100 people at My Lai, opens tomorrow. John?
Sharp fighting broke out in several places in Cambodia today as communist troops launched a series of attacks in an area northeast of Phnom Penh. The attacks seemed to be coordinated and involved artillery as well as infantry. It is not known if the enemy moves are in response to a joint South Vietnamese-Cambodian operation, which is sweeping an area south of Phnom Penh. That operation met no enemy opposition today. Reporters who went along said the South Vietnamese looked sleek and warlike, and the Cambodians amateurish in comparison.
A task force of about 7,000 South Vietnamese soldiers sailed far up the Mekong River to join Cambodian troops in an operation 20 miles south of Phnom Penh. The Cambodian army had asked the South Vietnamese for help with heavy equipment to sweep an area thought to be the headquarters of a Viet Cong regiment. The usual artillery barrage announced the beginning of the operation. One of the first things the Marines found was a group of about 25 Cambodians suspected of having collaborated with the Viet Cong. The Cambodians were not armed, and it took only two Marines to bring them in. The suspects were turned over to Cambodian military police for questioning. They said the Viet Cong had forced them to serve as guides and porters. Then the Marines fanned out into the fields, looking for enemy bunkers. The operation calls for a search through dozens of square miles of territory. There was one brief firefight. Three South Vietnamese were wounded. The wounded men were carried back to the road, then taken by truck to a helicopter pad. One South Vietnamese was killed. This operation is expected to last a week or two, and no doubt the South Vietnamese will take many more casualties. The Cambodians may not like them, but they can't fail to be impressed when South Vietnamese fight and die deep in Cambodian territory. Richard Hunt, NBC News, Ba Thi, Cambodia.
American troop strength in Vietnam dropped by 6,000 men last week. Today it was announced that South Vietnamese troops are taking over offensive operations from the Americans in a large enemy-infested area north of Saigon.
Remember Whitey Ford, winner of 10 World Series games? Well, today he's pitching to his son, Eddie. Boy, is he catching on.
I like to stay on the young side with sensible exercise and sensible eating, like Kellogg's product 19, the high-potency cereal with all of the minimum daily adult requirements for vitamins and iron.
All the flavor, too, Dad.
Want to get back on the young side? Start with Kellogg's product 19.
Mommy, when you got married, did Daddy carry you over the threshold? He did.
Time to get back into things? Start your weight control program with a Special K breakfast. Less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, loaded with protein, and delicious. Let the Special K breakfast help you get back into things.
You know, Mom, when I grow up, I want to look just like you.
The Israeli cabinet was in session today, working out a position on the stalled peace talks. In an appraisal of the situation, which is described in Israel as complete and realistic, Premier Golda Meir will make a major statement on the subject next Monday. In the meantime, there's a lot of talk in Jerusalem that the Israeli line on the negotiations is softening, that Israel may be preparing to talk while the prohibited Russian missiles remain along the Suez Canal.
The Israelis, even those at the top, have a habit of doing their thinking out loud. That apparently is what Defense Minister Dayan was doing when he said he favored Israel rejoining the Yaring peace talks. This doesn't mean that what Dayan said isn't important. It is. And what it seems to indicate is that the military phase of Israel's conflict with Egypt is in the process of being replaced by a political phase. But according to observers here, Dayan's remarks are only step one in a three-step process that must be gone through before Israel and Egypt can come together at the bargaining table. Step two is for the Israelis to arrive at a consensus within their own cabinet. This is what is known here as collective responsibility. Nothing becomes policy until this happens. Step three would involve some sign from the Egyptians that they are prepared to bargain for peace in good faith. The Israelis appear to have received enough in the way of planes and tanks from the Americans to be willing to disregard the Egyptian missile buildup. But they are waiting, and will insist on waiting for, a definite signal of good intentions from the other side before they join Egypt in serious negotiations. Blaine Littell, NBC News, Tel Aviv.
The Arab world is digesting the news today that the Egyptians have embarked on another federation scheme. 12 years ago, Egypt federated with Syria in what became the United Arab Republic. That fell apart. But now federation plans are being worked out by Egypt, Libya, and the Sudan, blending the cash Libya gets from its oil, the crops grown in the Sudan, with the people and technicians of Egypt. If they can put it together, the new federation would be larger than India, with a population of about 50 million. All of this was announced in Cairo at the conclusion of an otherwise uneventful Arab summit conference.
The presidents of the three countries, Anwar el Sadat of Egypt, Guama el Gaddafi of oil-rich Libya, and Gaafa Numeri of the Sudan, also announced the formation of a tripartite commission to implement the federation of the three sovereign states. Last December, the late President Nasser and the Libyan and Sudanese presidents announced the opening of a new fighting front against Israel, to which el Gaddafi committed his almost countless millions in oil revenue and all of Libya's other resources. Another significant factor in the closing meeting of the Little Arab Summit was the presence of Yasser Arafat, the number one Arab commando leader, and a full delegation of guerrillas. Egypt, Libya, and the Sudan consider the so-called Arab Eastern Front, formerly consisting of Syria, Iraq, and Jordan, to have evaporated completely as a fighting force against Israel, at least for the present. Edward Scott, NBC News in Cairo.
Colonel Gaddafi of Libya today gave his views on the Arab-Israeli conflict. He said, since the issue has assumed such gravity, political or peaceful solutions will be of no avail. Our enemy believes in force, and we too must regain our rights by force. David?
In the American Revolution, the British went to the German state of Hesse and hired 17,000 soldiers, the Hessians, to fight the rowdy, troublesome Americans. They fought well, the Americans liked them, treated them well when they were captured, and a lot of the Hessians liked it here and stayed after the war, and their descendants are still here, which has practically nothing to do with the fact that Hesse had an election yesterday. It gave Chancellor Willy Brandt a vote of confidence, and it gave the neo-Nazi candidates practically nothing.
The main question was how many would vote for the small Free Democratic Party, the coalition partners in Chancellor Brandt's federal government. If the Free Democrat support collapsed in Hesse, as it had in two other recent state elections, the political shockwaves would eventually have collapsed the Brandt government too. But when the votes were counted, Chancellor Brandt's job was safe, at least for now. The Free Democrats suffered scarcely any loss, but only because many of Brandt's Social Democrats voted for them. The big vote gainer was the Christian Democratic Party, the main opponent of Brandt's government and its policy of détente. With their new supporters, they will be tempted to stiffen their opposition, and they will have ample opportunity in three similar state elections in the next 6 months. After this election, Chancellor Brandt's coalition government is psychologically stronger than it was, but so too is the opposition. The big issue remains détente, and with more state elections coming up, Brandt must show some tangible success to keep his voters happy, a point the Russians certainly realize. Garrick Utley, NBC News, Wiesbaden, West Germany.
When you want to borrow money, you have a choice. You can come to Beneficial Finance or go someplace else. At the other place, you may get all the money you want. And then again, you may not. But at Beneficial, we take this attitude. We always want to lend you the full amount you have in mind. That's why, at Beneficial, we say you're good for more.
Night falls on the congested child. He's miserable. Nose clogged. Chest bothers him too. He can't sleep. Many colds medicines aren't recommended for young children. Vicks VapoRub is. Feels it relieves good. Congestion for up to 8 hours. Your child breathes better, feels better, so he can sleep. Vicks VapoRub, the breathing medicine for the congestion of a cold.
NBC Nightly News continues, brought to you by...
Alpo Trio, 100% meat and nourishing meat byproducts dogs love. Doesn't your dog deserve Alpo in his diet? This is the high point of your dog's day, dinner time. What are you going to give him for the most important event in his day? Is it? Could it be? Yes, it is. Alpo Beef, 100% beef and nourishing meat byproducts. Delicious chunks, rich in precious meat proteins. What a treat. Alpo 100% has come in all these varieties. Doesn't your dog deserve Alpo in his diet?
On British television over the weekend, David Frost was on a live talk show interviewing people, and one of them was Jerry Rubin, who offered Frost what he said was a marijuana cigarette. Frost declined, whereupon about 20 of Rubin's friends stormed out of the audience, shouted obscenities, kicked over the cameras, and wrecked the studios. The British public, having never seen anything like this before, was outraged, and Frost said this was a great commercial for law and order. In Washington today, Robert White, president of Kent State University, made his first comments on the grand jury report. The report saying that when the National Guard shot 4 students, it was the fault of the students and the college.
The president of Kent State University was in Washington for an educators meeting. He called a news conference because he said that the grand jury report on Kent State showed a frightening misunderstanding of the role of higher education, a misunderstanding that is national in scope.
We know very well indeed that the grand jury report was well received among the general public. On many occasions, I have commented on the extraordinarily distressing polarization of views with regard to our or to any university, and the almost hopeless task of anyone who attempts to hold a balance against the rash extremists on either side. This polarization descends on me unendingly and viciously. In the grand jury's analysis, I see a prime example of a brewing national disaster. In my opinion, the grand jury report was inaccurate, disregarded clear evidence, and if pursued in all its nuances, would eventually destroy not only Kent State University, but all major universities in the nation as resources for our America.
Dr. White indicated he felt the grand jury did not really understand academic freedom or the importance of the rights of dissent and demonstration, and he said that statements by members of the Nixon administration manifested a general public attitude which, Dr. White said, is ignorant. Charles Quinn, NBC News, Washington.
Cairo, Illinois has had continuing racial trouble, shooting, killing, arson, and in a year and a half it has had 5 police chiefs, 2 fire chiefs, and 2 mayors. During this past weekend, a black soldier home on leave was shot and wounded, and a lumber company was destroyed by a fire the chief said was arson. Nobody knows who shot the soldier or why. John?
It looks as though they are getting somewhere in Detroit on the negotiations between General Motors and the auto workers. Both sides have agreed to keep talking day and night until a settlement is reached, and they are hard at it right now.
There was speculation last week that the General Motors strike may end this week. Nothing happened over the weekend to snuff out those hopes. There was a long bargaining session on Saturday, another one on Sunday, and nobody has set a stopping time for the session that's now going on. There is a news blackout on what's being accomplished back there, and so it's rather difficult to tell at the moment just how far apart the two parties are. But there continue to be signs of definite progress. Live television cameras have been installed around the 5th floor of the General Motors building so that Detroit TV stations can carry the signing announcement. Leonard Woodcock of the UAW canceled a speaking engagement that he had set for Chicago today. Local plant agreements continue to come in, especially those that the company considers essential for a renewal of manufacturing.
And in the press room, the pace of rumor chasing has increased substantially. Most of the rumors have proved to be unfounded, but there is an air of expectancy around here that's been missing since the day the strike began, 56 days ago, in the middle of September. There's a feeling also that the strike's days are numbered, that it could indeed end this week. Steve Delaney, NBC News, Detroit.
The Agriculture Department said today that food prices are going to increase more this year than they did last year, and that next year they'll stop going up. The Presidential Emergency Board, which has been working to avert a rail strike, today recommended a 36% boost in pay for rail workers. That would be the biggest money settlement in the history of railroading. A government study shows that one out of three women on welfare mothers, wants and can hold a job, but most of them can't work because they are either sick or can't get anyone to babysit. And for a lot of people, holding a job means getting out and hustling, especially these days. In Cleveland, a company that sells vacuum cleaners door to door finds that hustling includes that old American salesman's institution, the pep rally.
And when you leave to go to work today, if you don't know in your heart and in your mind that this is going to be the best day of your life, it's going to be the poorest. It's going to be a great day for me because I have so many wonderful things happening. You have so many wonderful things happening. We're in the greatest business and the greatest period in the history of our company. Hey, hey, hey! All right.
Proud of our 1971 Plymouths. They're the finest we've ever built. We're so proud, in fact, that for a limited time, we're making two special offers to make it easy for you to own one. First, there's the 1971 Fury V8 with new torsion quiet ride. To give it an extra big push, we've added a special package of popular options, including power steering, power brakes, and air conditioning. We're also pushing America's newest low-priced two-door hardtop, Valiant Scamp, with a special introductory package including a vinyl roof, white walls, and a remote side view mirror. During our big push, if you buy either a specially equipped Fury or a specially equipped Valiant Scamp, we'll throw in the automatic transmission at no extra charge. That's right, automatic transmission, no extra charge. That's Chrysler Plymouth coming through.
The Earl of Cromer, a 52-year-old banker, has been named Britain's new ambassador to the United States. He is no stranger to Washington, having been Britain's economics expert there for 2 years. Pope Paul and Emperor Haile Selassie met today in Vatican City. The Pope praised the Emperor as a notable champion of spiritual values, and the Emperor was equally complimentary to the Pope. The Defense Department said today that those two Russian ships it thought might have been involved in the building of a Soviet submarine base in Cuba are back in the area and are being shadowed. NATO's Parliamentary Assembly meeting in Holland recommended today that European members take responsibility with the United States for the security of the Mediterranean Sea. The New York Stock Exchange opened the week strongly. The Dow Jones Industrials gained more than 5.5 points, and the value of an average share went up 19 cents. On the American Exchange, an average share gained 4 cents. David?
For those who like to contemplate the easy life, probably the easiest is inherited money, and maybe the second easiest is to own a toll bridge.
You can sit and rock and watch the traffic cross and the money come in. In Old Town, Maryland, is a man who owns a toll bridge. The toll is 25 cents one way, 35 cents round trip. It's not the Golden Gate Bridge or the George Washington, but it's his, all his. The owner, Melvin Carpenter, is now 80, so he has sold it for $90,000 to a happy new owner named Charles Walters.
I knew about the bridge, or was around here when it was built, but I never thought I'd ever own it. It's made out of railroad rails. There's 13 strings of railroad rails across the bottom, and it's a 4-inch plank, and it's only been renewed once in 32 years.
You think you're the only man in the state that owns a bridge?
Yeah, bridge? I think in the whole United States, according to Carpenter, there's other private-owned toll bridges. There's no interstate. They're not interstate, they're just private.
What, do you think it's going to be a good investment?
Well, Carpenter's prospered by it for the last 32 years, and it's been taking in more toll every year, so I think so.
I think...
And the rate it's been gone, why, I can retire in 15 years off at about $15,000 a year profit.
Can't go wrong on that.
I didn't think so. That's the reason I bought it. And I think it's about the only thing in the United States that hasn't raised, toll hasn't raised in 32 years, still the same.
For 25 cents, you can drive from Maryland to West Virginia, and for 35 cents, you can drive there and back. One of the few great bargains left in America. Thank you, and good night for NBC News.